with Christine, Marie, and Julie.
Hello.
How's everybody doing today?
And you know, really, we kind of upgraded our show name. It's like
More Life.
It's More Life with the girlfriends.
And it's so great because I had a couple friends saying, I get what More Life means. It's like we're trying to put more life into our life.
Yes.
And it doesn't mean being busier.
No.
It just means...
And it doesn't mean being, you've got to change what you're doing.
No.
And move to Hawaii. It's like, no. But what you're doing.
Yes.
The things that you're doing, we want more life in it.
Yes. And it means something different for everybody, and thank God it does. And sometimes I get a little bit of a tweak, like I'll see somebody having more life, and I'm going, oh, that's the more life I want.
Give me an example.
Well, yeah, okay. I'll give you an example real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we're mother and daughter. We're coaches.
Wait, we're mother and daughter?
Yes, you're the mother. I'm the daughter.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Thank you,
and
Julie,
you can go to our
Marie.
Website, ChristineMarieAndJulie.com, for our blog that's being updated, and also theclutterflyeffect.com, which is being updated. We're just updating here and here.
Everything's
and
up to date in Kansas City.
And so anyway...
They've gone about as far as they can go. Just so let me run with that.
That's what I'm trying. Go for it.
Okay. That's it.
Oh, okay.
That's it.
And so anyway, I read this one story about this guy, you know, of course, like mid-20s, maybe a little older than that. And he's like, oh, I had a friend call me about the blue and saying, hey, let's travel from Australia to Antarctica. Or, you know, what do you think about that? Or Australia to the Arctic, one or the other, either going north or south. I don't know which one it was now. And he's like, I couldn't pass it up. But how am I going to live for a year? Oh, I created an app and made $200,000 off my app. And I'm like, dude, you're putting more life into your life by creating. I mean,
yes.
Come on.
Julie, could we create an app?
I want to. It's on my bucket list.
All right, sometimes it's just the F-U-C-K-I-T list.
The F-ing list that's in my face that I'm not achieving.
Yeah. Why don't we create the More Life app?
Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But this week it's kind of interesting because, mm-hmm. Well, a couple of things I kind of want to talk about a little bit. One is we all have these things, these dreams of ours that in the back of our head, we kind of talk about it like, I've always wanted to move here,
mm-hmm.
or I've always wanted to do that,
mm-hmm.
or I really want to have a pool, Christine Marie.
Yes.
And we've had pools in our life, but just not one in a long time.
No, we haven't. In our very first house, we had a nice pool, and then in our second home, we had a nice in-the-ground pool.
Right.
And I miss it.
I know.
I miss it.
And so... You have two friends that have just popped into your life, a friend and associate. They're kind of taking your two dreams.
I know.
And, you know, it's kind of
funny.
Wasn't
that weird?
It is weird because you've always wanted to live in this one county in Texas.
Yes.
At least recently you have.
I've been wanting to. It's hard to imagine me a Texas girl because I like it cool.
Yeah.
And that's not what you think Texas is. But I don't know why, but I'm just really being drawn to Texas. And one of my girlfriends her husband just got a job offer there.
And I'm like, what's going on? And a very specific location, too, that you
very,
to
very at. Pinpoint specific location
and
that
like,
I want.
Man.
No, and then another friend said, I am moving next weekend to a house in Dixon from Rock Falls, and it has an in-the-ground pool.
And you're like, man, holy cow, what's going on? I want an in-the-ground pool.
Yeah. What's going on? How do you get my dream?
Yeah, how are you getting my dream?
Right.
And how they land on you, and you're not even trying for it, you know?
Yeah.
Nor is she the one going to Texas. She wasn't even trying for it.
I know.
And... Yeah, I was thinking about Esther Hicks, Abraham Hicks.
Oh,
fame.
Yeah, I love her.
You know, the big law of attraction person that just started it all off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care if anybody says they started it off. No, she was
did.
It.
She and, what's her husband's name? He's gone now. Esther and?
Jerry
Hicks, yeah.
And what's so funny about it is that she would say, Christine Marie, look how close you're getting.
Ah.
And, you know, before it wasn't even in your wheelhouse. Or,
yeah.
That's why I always say wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the heck a wheelhouse is. It wasn't even your vortex, what she would say.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even there. It was just your just a rocket of desire.
Right.
And now you've got people around you who are achieving it.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, you're like, screw that.
So it's getting closer and closer is what you're saying.
Closer and closer to hitting you.
Yes.
You're like, and it's sort of that idea that you're the average of your five people that you're that you hang around. And
oh yeah.
And so you want to. And so if everybody around you is achieving this or mm-hmm. doing this, you're like, well, I guess maybe it is time for me.
It is time for me.
I don't know.
Hmm. The eyes of Texas are upon you.
Maybe.
Can you see me in boots?
No. Yes, I can see you in boots. You also like Texas because of Chip and Dale, or whatever their names
are. Chippendale. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Oh, the house designer.
Oh, Chip and, oh, Julie. Chip and JoJo.
JoJo.
Yes.
From
Chip and Dale. Julie.
I don't know. What
those are like cartoon characters.
I know, but Chip and something.
Chip and JoJo.
Yes.
I was just watching that right before I came on the, you know, for inspiration.
Yeah.
I was just watching that, and it was a couple that were had just recently moved from South Carolina to Colorado Springs.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy's a banker, and he moved to be closer to her family. Uh-oh, right?
Right.
Anyway, he says, you know, I'm from South Carolina. He goes, everybody up here hikes. He goes, I never even knew what hiking was, but I'm starting to like it. I'm like, dude, you don't know what hiking is.
I think that's something everyone kind of does.
Kind of.
It's sort of like walking.
Except for South Carolina.
Yeah, it's walking with a trail.
And I guess in...
And boots.
In Colorado, it'd be walking in a trail with mountains.
Yes. And it's also, I think,
kind of wanted to shake him, though, when he said that.
Yeah, you're like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't know what hiking is.
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm from South Carolina. I don't know what hiking is.
And the truth is, I kind of get sick of hikers when they try and be all like, I'm hiking.
Yeah.
No, you're walking.
Yeah.
You're walking on hills.
I remember last week, too, we had the hikers that
bugged us. I know.
They came from the suburbs.
That's what I was thinking about.
And, you know, they have to wear their knee pads and their
I'm not trying to
pads,
judge. Yeah.
Their backpacks, their helmets.
Yeah, I'm not judging.
And that big stick, that big tall.
The walking stick?
Yeah, the hiking stick.
They never call it a hiking stick, by the way.
It's not.
It's a walking stick.
A walking stick.
So if you're hiking, you require a walking stick,
mm-hmm.
let's just call it your walking.
I think it's more for, like, if I was going to do that,
mm-hmm.
I would want that if, like, a bear came upon you.
Oh, I see. It's actually used for something else.
That's what I think.
It's ironic.
Right.
It's not really a walking stick. It's a weapon.
Yes.
And so isn't that the real true meaning of irony?
No.
It's using something that's not really intended for its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really a walking stick, but it's not intended for the purpose of
no.
of a weapon.
Or like, let's say you're walking a trail and you meet some dangerous-looking guy.
Yes.
You know, you got that big walking stick. You just crack him over the head with it.
You're like, isn't that ironic? She took her walking stick and used it as a weapon.
I guess a can of pepper spray would do just as well.
You know what, though? I prefer a walking stick.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Would a bear appreciate being hit over the snout? All right, pepper spray in his eye.
I really think either one's going to take him off, but I think... Maybe the walking stick at the end of the, you can take off the leg of it, the bottom part of it,
mm-hmm.
to expose a spear. And so now you have a stick that's a spear. And I think that could protect you from a bear, possibly.
Yes, could be.
Or really take a bear off until it blooded us. It's like, oh, I'm sorry, bear. I don't want, you know, bear, I really just, and they say, though, truly, unless the bear is really hungry, they say, just make a lot of noise as you're walking. Because a bear will want to stay away from you.
Mm,
and so,
unless he's really hungry.
And so there's nothing more satisfying than taking a very nice, peaceful walk than, like, hiking in the mountains, mm-hmm. and then must be making noise the entire time so that the bears don't come after you.
Yeah.
I am grateful I live in Illinois, except that...
No, I'm not.
I am.
I know,
except for the fact that we had a bear sighting less than 50 miles from us, 40 miles.
Yeah, it came to a nursing home.
Yes, it came to a nursing home. Yeah. Wanted to hang out.
It was an older bear.
Yeah, and we've had a cougar sighting near us.
Yes.
And so, in some ways, I feel less safe than I used to. Because we have bear sightings, and we mm-hmm. have cougar sightings, mm-hmm. and we know we have coyote sightings
yes.
all the
well,
time.
We can hear them just
oh, for heaven's sake.
When we take our doggy out.
Exactly. And we have lots of dogs running around as well that are scary.
Oh, the scary dogs.
Yeah. So I just don't know. So I guess I should start carrying a big stick when I walk.
Ah, walk tall and carry a big stick.
Exactly.
Do you know that was a president's, I don't know, campaign slogan.
Oh, okay, sure.
You could look it up on the computer if you want to.
Yeah, right I will. Now. What was it, first of all, you had a phone call a day this morning or earlier.
Just, yeah, yeah.
And what was the area code again?
832.
Thank you. But you had a phone call from an old
friend. I know.
Friend.
And it was. What's interesting is that really we never use our home phone.
Mm-mm.
I mean, everything is, you know, it's all your devices now, right? So maybe once a week I'll check.
You've got to be kidding me. Guess where this area code's from?
Where is it from? Texas?
Yes.
No.
I am telling you the truth.
No, you're not.
I am too.
Oh my gosh! What part? You know?
Possibly Houston.
Really?
Yes.
So I got this phone call, a message as I picked up the phone. It's you know. Like I said, I rarely check the messages and haven't, you know, probably for years, but every once in a while I do. And it said, and she goes, "Hi, this is Mary," whatever, we'll say the last name. And she goes, "If this is Christine," she goes, "I was your best friend in high school.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to, you know, look you up. And here's my number. You know, I miss you." And I'm like, oh, my gosh.
Oh, yeah.
And she's in Texas? This is crazy.
Yeah, it is.
Getting so much Texas energy right now.
I mean, that's another thing, you know?
I know.
Come on.
Aw.
I know. So just wanted to...
Thank you for doing that.
Oh, I thought that was very interesting.
Thank you.
You know?
For looking that up for me.
You're welcome.
Did you also look up walk tall and
I
carry,
did that right, Tim.
Carry a
I think it's
stick.
Walk softly and carry a big stick.
Oh, that's probably it. That's probably it. Walking tall was that Billy
Theodore Gap. Roosevelt said it.
All right, there you go. You know, when I was a little girl, he used to come over and babysit me.
Who? What are we talking about now?
Teddy Roosevelt.
Sure. Okay. Let's move on.
And that's how he used to tell me, walk softly.
Carry a big stick.
Carry a big stick.
Yeah.
Okay, we will
okay,
move on.
We'll move on. So last week we kind of talked about the point, and I've got a lot of things to talk about today. And
tell me.
This is my cleansing.
We're going to, okay, it's
cleansing
a cleansing
show.
The cleansing show.
So last week we talked about, near the end of the show, about this idea, talking about that man, Corey, I can't think of his last name now, but how he was arrested for bank fraud, went to jail.
Oh, and wasn't his name like Groves or something?
That's exactly right. Thank you.
Carrie
Groves.
Yes.
Corey Groves. That's it. And the weird part is 20 years earlier, his brother was arrested and put in jail for bank fraud. And his mm-hmm. father said, "Please tell me that you will never do this." And at that moment he goes, you know, Dad, for sure, I promise you, I will never humiliate our family like this, and I will never be arrested for fraud.
For bank fraud.
And then 20 years later, he was. And
yeah.
We talk about this idea that there are things that we've done.
Yes.
Where we're like, I will never do that. I've drawn a line in the sand. And then yet we crossed it. And I'm going to say,
how does that happen?
How does that happen? How do we compromise ourselves? And sometimes it's for the best. But it's just so funny we said compromise, because do you remember that one quote we just heard? whatever
if
you,
whatever you compromise on,
to keep,
you will to keep something or whatever you will never keep
you
it.
You will eventually lose.
You will eventually lose it. Yes.
Whatever you compromise to keep, you will eventually lose.
Yes.
Well, anyway.
Yes.
Just want to throw that out. That's kind of weird.
Yes.
So this week we had a turning point in our family a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
We've been talking about how Dad had a heart attack and he's been recovering, and recovering nicely. He's gotten better and all that stuff. And we just said a long time ago that he's done with driving a truck.
Mm-hmm.
He's done. We drew the line of sand and we ain't going back that way.
Mm-hmm.
And we
said it adamantly.
Adamantly. We declared it.
Many, 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 many times.
Ain't gonna happen.
Times. I got it on 3x5 note cards.
Yes.
I have it in my phone.
On your vision board?
On my vision board, yeah.
And I guess we didn't word it correctly, because we shouldn't have said, he will never do this. We should have worded like, he will do something else, something positive.
Right.
Whatever.
Rather than going away from something.
Yes.
Move towards something.
Exactly. We know all that stuff. And he went to work and did a full day.
Yeah.
For the first time on Friday.
Yeah.
Which was, I was in some ways happy for. It was nice to spend more time with you.
Yeah, I loved that too, but I was kind of a nervous wreck. And
yes.
Every 2 hours I was calling him, stop the truck, get out and walk, you know, walk your legs. And
right. And it's kind of funny because if you're a semi-driver, you have to get your CDL license. And to do that, you have to get physical every year or every other year, depending when you're at. And his physical is kind of getting due, and he's getting ready to get renewed, and everything looks good except that he has to get a stress test. And we're all pretty hopeful on that, to be honest with you. I mean, he's gotten good marks from the doctor.
Mm-hmm.
But it is an upgrade from what he had to do previously.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sort of like it's different now. It's just everything's a thing now,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, everything is a thing.
And so we crossed that line. We said
did.
No.
And then we found out that
he should.
And he's gone tonight.
He's gone tonight. He's like, you know, well, I don't know what to say about it.
Well, I don't either, Julie,
mm-hmm.
Because I really thought about this.
Right.
And I really soul-searched about it. And it just felt different because it felt like, to me, it was like if he went back to work, we were going back to the old way.
Right. Backwards.
It felt backwards, yes, yes. And things are different now. I mean,
right.
not a whole lot different in the sense that things haven't manifested physically yet, you know.
Right.
But it felt okay.
Yes.
After I soul-searched, it felt like...
It felt like it'd be part of the plan
mm-hmm.
without it being contradictory towards the plan.
Right.
Like,
good one.
He's part of the plan heading towards our way of completely having him not drive.
Mm-hmm.
But we need his assistance at the moment
mm-hmm.
so that I can do other stuff to
right.
get us ready and so forth.
Right, right.
So it felt like it could be part of the plan.
Mm-hmm.
But it also felt... slightly like a little bit of a failure.
Yeah, yeah, right? a little bit. Like, gee, how can we be so sure? You know?
Yes, and then not have this happen.
Yeah.
And it's been really, I've been having to ponder this idea because what they say about the best laid plans, you know, they have to be open to...
Best laid plans of mice and men.
Yes. Are we the mice or the men? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of crazy.
I don't know, honey.
I don't know.
What do they say if you... fail to plan, you can...
Plan to fail.
And there's a lot of quotes about plans.
Well, there is, and it's interesting you brought that up, girlfriend, because I have a Bible quote that I've been focusing on for a while and meditating on. And when you have a quote, and particularly a Bible quote, if you're focusing on those, and you let them...
really sink in.
And marinate in your soul.
Yeah. Meditate, marinate.
It's Jeremiah's quote. I think it's 19. And it's the quote is...
I would say this is like my favorite quote.
Has it always been your favorite quote?
No.
Okay.
No, I've only learned about this one, I think, for about a month now.
Right. And you probably have known about... You've heard it because
oh,
I
yes.
know you read the Bible once
yes.
or twice. But
yes.
this idea of actually unless you pull a quote out and like listen to it and sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because, you know, the quote is, and I hope I'm not paraphrasing, but I don't know if I'll get it exactly right word for word, so forgive me.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord.
Like, that's pretty, like,
right.
I'm declaring.
Yeah,
this.
Plans to prosper you, not harm you.
Right.
Plans that give you hope and a future. Like, that's the quote. I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I've been sitting with that for a while now.
Yeah. See, the one that's been marinating in me, too, but the one that was marinating before this one was, he talked, and I think it's Timothy, I don't know, but it's like this. In order for you to get your wealth or your money, right, I don't add trouble, sorrow, or toil to it,
right,
like the world does. And so I've been really resting in that, like, how do you see your life and how you, you know, make your living and live your life.
And have more life than your life.
Have more life, absolutely, without adding trouble, toil, and sorrow. And I think I've even told, you know, that quote several times a few months ago, you know.
And that's kind of why you always said, I'm not having Norm go back to work.
Absolutely.
Because it could be adding trouble
that
and toil and sorrow. Sorrow for sure.
Sorrow for sure, yeah. 100%.
And it's not like going back full time. I mean, it's just different. It's not, it's more... I have the hiccups, I'm sorry.
You do?
Mm-hmm. Kind of painful.
If I was next to you, I'd scare you.
Thank you. I would appreciate that. So putting those kind of quotes together,
yeah.
Realizing, and like for me, just sitting here and these past weeks meditating on this quote.
Yes.
And I'll hear other people talk about plans. Now, we know this one thing about plans. Fail the plan to fail. No,
right.
Plan to fail, fail the plan,
right.
Plan,
right.
Plan to fail.
Fail the
there
plan and plan to fail.
You know, and so...
I've heard Tony Robbins even say that.
Yes, and Charles, which we love this new guy, Charles.
Oh, we love this guy now. He's our new guy, Charles Peliquin?
Peliquin, yes.
Peliquin?
He's a strength...
He's a strength sunsai.
Yeah, sunsai, that's it.
Strength sunsai.
Pretty wild guy, I love
yes.
it.
Yes.
And
a real dude.
A real dude, real man, right? And so, but we know this, and I thought to myself so many times, we think that it's going to be given to us, even with law of attraction. It'll just manifest.
Yeah, or if it's meant to be.
It's meant to be.
It shouldn't have any obstacles.
Right, or there's not really a straight plan. There's not a known plan to take. Things will just evolve and happen.
Mm-hmm.
And the next step will be right in front of you. And I've said that, and I do believe that, that sometimes you don't know the whole plan. You know where you're going, and you know the next step, but you don't know the actual plan.
Mm-hmm. I think that is very true. I mean, like, especially if you're trying to follow, you know, God's plan for you.
Right.
A lot of times it just doesn't, you know, like if we were making a plan on our own, it would just be, you'd have it, you know, planned
right.
all the way down, have it, and you're done, you know.
Right.
But you have to stay, like, he talks about this river, this tree that flows, or the river flows next to this tree, but you have to stay in flow, you know.
Right. Yes, that's exactly right. And but this idea, too, that we all have these plans that are laid out in front of us that we know. It could be about health, even.
Yeah.
We kind of all know this plan that we're supposed to be following for our health.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different for each of us slightly, right?
Mm-hmm.
But we know what the big major things are. And a lot of times we choose not to follow it.
Mm-hmm.
And... we have plans for our relationships. We know where we'd like them to go, what to do, and yet we choose not to follow them.
Mm-hmm.
And we have ideas for our careers, and even for growth for our careers. and yet we still don't make the first step to call. Maybe go back to school or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
There are things in our lives that really don't just happen.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yes.
I can tell you right now, like, our relationship is easy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't just happen.
No.
We've developed skills
right.
and a plan that we habitually activate and do to make our relationship easy.
Mm-hmm.
And the things I'm working on, they're not habitual, not a plan I choose to follow completely. And so, but it's just this idea that, you know, for I have plans for you.
Yes.
For I know I have plans for you, Christine.
Yes.
For I know I have plans for you, Julie. And they are plans to prosper
to
you,
prosper
not harm you.
And not harm you. See, that's the thing, too, because, you know, the world will hurt you.
Yeah.
It'll cut a bitch.
That's the only way I thought. It'll cut a bitch. And sometimes we think if it's hurting us, it can't be the right plan. But yet, this is where we have to be in the Word and also really listen.
Mm-hmm.
Is this path that I'm on, these plans that I'm making,
mm-hmm.
are they the plan I'm supposed to be on?
Mm-hmm.
And these obstacles are just literally obstacles that I'm supposed to solve.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to get wisdom from, because I know that solving these obstacles
mm-hmm.
gets me to a higher evolution,
right.
higher energy.
It has to, because remember we always say
yes.
that you can't solve a problem
at the same level
it was created at.
No.
You have to solve it higher, which evolves you.
Right.
Which...
Well, exactly.
Higher up that
this kind of goes to what we were talking, Greg and I were talking about earlier this week.
Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about, I have, somebody in my life, Doug's, one of Doug's family members, you know, Doug's mom's not doing well, so we're all banding together and making sure she has all her needs met and that she's not alone and,
mm-hmm.
and things like, and he has a big enough family, this is not a huge obstacle.
No, the family is huge.
Yes, yeah. And she has one son that lives with her. But yet doesn't really, he's sort of...
He doesn't do any, he's anonymous.
She calls him her hippie son,
mm-hmm.
but mostly it should be her 12-step son,
mm-hmm.
or 10-step, mm-hmm. without actually doing the program
yet. I think
yet.
He's like the live-in-the-basement son.
Yeah, exactly. And, mm-hmm. and I was talking to Greg about how it's the funniest thing, the people who have the least amount of time or who get the most stuff done, they always find time to do something more.
Yes. Oh, and that's a common truism.
And people who have nothing going on.
Right.
Nothing to do. If you just ask them to do a little bit for you.
That throws them over the top.
And they're like, well, I don't have time for this. Like, really, you don't have time for this. Tell me what's going on
yeah.
that's so important
yeah.
that you can't get
this
done.
But this is really a truism. It's a truth.
It is a truth.
Why is that?
And so you realize... that there are people who have a plan and they follow it and look where their life leads.
Mm-hmm.
And then other people who are just kind of like, I don't really have, not really, I guess I'm planning to fail because I failed to plan
mm-hmm.
anything in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And so one little more thing that would force me to grow, that might bring some newness into my life or
mm-hmm.
novelty to my life,
mm-hmm.
I can't even do it mm-hmm. because it would just
yeah.
throw my life up.
Yeah, well, there is a good element to stretching,
right?
You know, because when it's just like a rubber band, when you stretch it really far, when it comes back, it's looser than it was. You
right.
you actually gain some girth or some grit,
right?
Some gravitas, and you stretch it again.
Yeah,
and it comes back.
You know, that's exactly right. You know, I was also thinking about that quote, too, where, for I have plans for you, the plural.
Yes.
And sometimes I it has given me comfort to think about this
mm-hmm.
in this way for
mm-hmm.
me. This is just what came to me while I was meditating.
Yes.
So,
and what's that one quote you told me, too? You said people who meditate are normally smart. What was that?
Well, no, I was just reading or hearing that. People who meditate daily, they're actually building synapses in their
brain.
Oh,
right. They actually are building synapses.
Same thing if they do cold therapy daily.
Mm-hmm.
It builds synapses. I'm like,
meditate and cold therapy.
And then also heat therapy is good for other things. It's sort of like extreme stuff really helps your body develop interesting things.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're in, I learned this from, I think it's Joe Rogan had Dr. Rhonda on again. And I don't know what her degree is in, but she really is about studying anti-aging.
Mm-hmm.
And longevity and things like that. I don't know if that's, they're the same or in the
mm-hmm.
field.
Mm-hmm.
She did a lot of work on vitamin D and omega-3s and just studying. And she talks about this idea that, you know, when you expose yourself to extreme heat, like in a sauna, it initiates this certain hormone that does this, that helps with recovery. And then in a cold situation, extreme cold, and they've got these new dry cold things that you know, somehow get into that like are 200 degrees below Celsius. I don't know.
Really?
Something crazy.
I mean, like a, just like the opposite of a sauna.
Yes, exactly.
Could it be called a freezer?
No. I wish that'd be that easy. And then, and those things initiate another hormone
mm-hmm.
that helps with recovery in this.
Mm-hmm.
And I find this stuff all just so fascinating.
I do too.
And yesterday or last week, you gave me a word of advice. You said, Julie, with your body right now, it's going to be two parts. It's going to be God and your soul
mm-hmm.
and science.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
you them together.
That. That's right.
We'll get you there. I'm like, yes, I understand what that means, because what it is like giving the plan. And then here is your plan.
Mm-hmm.
And keep finding it out. Keep learning more about
right,
this stuff.
Right. And never give up.
No, because what we do know is God works through people. Doesn't he?
Yes.
Doesn't she? Doesn't it? Whatever you want to say. I get exhausted with pronouns, so screw it.
I do too.
But I still like this idea that the plans, meaning like if I messed up one plan,
mm-hmm.
I give you another plan to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You mess up, then so they got a plan A,
mm-hmm.
plan B, plan C,
mm-hmm.
and maybe a plan D, maybe the default plan.
Yes, yes, which most of us probably live in.
Right,
or
even
plan.
A distraction plan,
mm-hmm.
which is like, oh, none of this is working out. I need a break.
Yeah,
give me a distraction plan.
Mm-hmm. Well, Julie, that's so true. I mean, think of like a lot of things that you do, right, that you have a plan for, or you're wanting to. At some point, it gets difficult.
Uh-huh, yes.
And at that
point. And it
point,
has to, right? It
yes,
has to
it
get
has
difficult.
To. Yeah, because you've reached your level
yes.
of
expertise, of
yeah.
comfortability.
Right.
Oh, poor little Elliot. He's alone.
That's right. He's alone tonight.
Mm-hmm.
But when you reach that level where it's like, hitting a brick wall, and for us normal people,
yeah,
then kind of like the next new shiny object comes along, and then
right.
we, oh, there, that's what I want to do.
Yes.
That's it. So, and it is a distraction, I think, but who knows, you know, like you were just telling me that, our daddy was telling me that something was invented because, do you remember that? It was an accident or?
No.
I think you were telling me.
Okay.
No?
Was it the train? Was it the plane?
I don't know. Maybe it was Norm, but, you know, he was like, and this is why, was it, how'd this get, oh, it was, I think it was like cottage cheese.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah.
How did right. it, how did cottage cheese get invented?
Okay.
OMG.
Okay, that was Dad.
That was
because I know I wouldn't
normal.
Have been very impressed by this. This is our family's conversation. This is how it went down. So I'm just sitting with Mom and Dad, and I said, "Are you guys ever just not completely amazed how great having eggs and milk is? Like we could live completely on having chickens and cows."
And you just said, and then you started naming.
Yes,
you said deviled eggs. Hard-boiled eggs, omelets.
Scrambled eggs. Yeah, and then I said, if you add eggs with milk, you get custard.
Mm-hmm. I
awesome.
Said pudding.
And you said pudding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go, and with cows, you got cheese, cottage cheese, Philadelphia cream cheese. I go, you know, whey, milk, cream, butter. I go, it's amazing.
Yes.
And then Dad goes, do you know how cottage cheese is made? I go, no, I really don't. I know there's milk involved.
I think it was in the war.
Yes.
Something, some like warrior.
He took some
cream along with him.
So he took some, and he was like, he in like some skin, like a wine skin, he put some milk in it.
Yeah.
And he didn't drink it fast enough.
He just forgot about it.
Yeah.
He forgot during his warriorism.
Yeah. It curdled.
Yeah.
And then he said, not too bad.
Then he ate it anyway.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Yeah.
And so I don't know how that got to be cottage cheese, but oh well.
But that's what your father said.
It's sort of like kefir. My grandmother, Daddy's mom, loved kefir. And she make her own kefir.
Mm.
And it used to make me so sick.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what kefir is?
Kefir Sutherland?
No. I'm not really 100% sure what kefir is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think it's kefir Sutherland. Because
it's K-E-F-I-R because I use that a lot in Scrabble.
Yes. And what it does, I mean, the way they used to make it, it would grow overnight and you'd have twice as much. And so you'd drink half of it and then you keep it. And it would grow the next day, and then you yes, exactly.
Wait, does it grow like a plant or as a liquid or
like
what?
Like a yeasty thingy. Yeah, like a liquid.
Ugh.
It's something in it.
And she would drink that?
Yes, she would drink it. Mm. I believe it's kefir.
Mm-hmm.
So every morning, she had this in a bowl, and it was liquidy and kind of cottage cheesy. And then she'd take some of it, eat it. And then the next day, it would be the same amount. It just keep expanding.
Kind of like that sourdough bread.
100%. Exactly.
Meaning,
and so,
yeah.
And it's amazing to me because, first of all, it's like that friendship bread that freaks me out. You know what I'm talking about?
Kind of like the bacteria bread.
Exactly. Yeah. This bread is thousands of years old because we just keep passing it on. Great. I'm going to stop
now. Yeah, because you're going to get nauseated.
Yeah.
Because I think it's kind of called Legionnaire's bread.
I hope not. Now, we pray for all the people in New York.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we do.
Not to bring it down, girlfriend.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's okay.
Inappropriate.
Too soon. So, anyway, but that's what she used to do, and I'm pretty sure with kefir.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, this is ingenious because in some ways, you don't ever need to do anything more than just have this thing that keeps expanding every day.
Right. That's wisdom.
It is. It's also alchemy of some sort.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't get it.
I mean, you could eat every day without having to work for it.
Right. Exactly.
That's kind of cool.
100%.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like I said, those are the ideas I had for that quote and the plans.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to ask everybody today, if you have a goal but you really don't have a plan, think, you know, that quote's not just saying I'm giving you a goal or an idea.
Mm-hmm.
I'm literally giving you the plans to achieve it.
Right.
I've
heard many people say that if it really is a plan, you know, from God you're supposed to do, within that plan are all the seeds for you to do it. It's not something that you cannot not accomplish.
Right. So no matter what,
yes,
you can achieve this.
Yes.
Exactly.
I kind of dig that.
And that's why there's something I'm doing right now, and I'll share it later with everybody, but I'm not giving up on it. I've had obstacles, and I keep getting over them, keep trying to work around them.
Oh, are you going to share tonight?
No, I'm not.
Oh. Oh.
Not yet. I said sometime in the future I'll share.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were going to share tonight.
No.
That'd be awesome.
What would it be?
I don't know.
No.
I would have gone with it.
Sure. And so forth.
I say after September 1st, we will share.
Exactly. And so, but I want to say to everybody, think about this. What are your plans? And can you go deeper with them? Deeper with these plans. Think about it more.
Especially if you knew that they were plans that are good.
That prosper you. Not harm you.
And to give you a future.
Hello, hello, hello.
If you knew that, wouldn't they be a bit bolder, those plans?
100%.
Sweeter?
Yes.
And if you knew that God wasn't going to add trouble, toil, or sorrow to those plans.
Right. Right.
What would you do?
Yes.
amazing.
Very much so.
Yes.
Very much so. And I somehow we lost the internet tonight.
You lost the internet?
Yeah. I don't know why.
Hmm.
Who knows? We'll see. I was going to look up something that I want to talk about next, but that's okay.
Oh, was on the internet?
Yeah, that's okay. I was going to get a word, but we'll figure it out.
Hmm.
It's actually the power thing stopped. Oh, there it goes. I put it back on. Maybe that'll fix it. Who knows? We'll see. Basically, I love technology, right?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes human beings can really mess up technology.
Oh, really? No.
And
really, Jules?
I think I did just then. I think I'm the one that messed it up, mm-hmm. but I think it'll get back into play now. I think I fixed what I messed up.
Mm-hmm.
But it brought me this idea. I was listening to this podcast about Google and how they have that car that drives itself.
Mm-hmm.
And last week I talked about how I saw the iMaps bus driving around, mapping the world. And Doug saw the Google Map people driving around, mapping out the world. I'm
mm-hmm.
like, this is so awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I love to have that job.
Mm-hmm.
Except that's probably all electric cars doing it, you know,
yeah.
automotive.
It's kind of, I'm still old school.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather just drive around in the, was it the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile?
Yes.
That
Which I saw
too.
That.
I know you did.
I saw it recently.
Yeah.
That's so awesome, isn't it?
I mean, you guys want to go, oh, I want a Google Map. I want to ride around in Google Map.
And the guys waved at me from there. They're like, hey, you. I want this job just to wave at all the drivers.
Be the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
Now, I remember that the license plate says something that was interesting, and I can't remember what it was said.
Yummy.
Yummy. That's
yes, you
it.
Told me yummy.
I told you yummy.
Yes. I think I even dreamt about that then.
So, oh, I believe
that there
it.
Was a, you know, that I had a vehicle. Mm-hmm. And the license plate said, yummy.
Oh, awesome. So let me talk real quick about Google and their
sure.
and their,
oh, absolutely.
And their cars.
Yeah.
Because I found this fascinating. Because they were talking about this idea that they've the Google people would give their employees these cars to drive home. And they'd have cameras to see what these people would do when driving home. So they're not driving home. They're just basically sitting in the front seat.
They're being chauffeured.
Yes. Sitting in the front seat, pretending to drive or just be there. Mostly not to freak other drivers out.
I wonder if they kind of just look like male people.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Get it?
Yeah, not really.
No, because if you're a male person, you sit in the passenger side.
Oh, no, this is you're sitting in the driver's side. Because I think they want you to not freak other drivers out. Like, oh my God, this car is driving without somebody.
Oh, I thought they would just be sitting in the passenger side.
No. And so they would watch the people and to find out, they weren't looking at the road at all. They were doing stuff like looking at their computer,
mm-hmm.
reading, taking a nap, doing all these
mm-hmm.
non-connecting things to the driving.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, this is very interesting. And they brought up this idea of in the back in the day, they always had elevator men that would, you know, hold the door open for you and then take you to your rightful floor, correct?
Sure.
They opened the doors up.
Yeah, oh, they did. Yeah,
yeah,
I remember that.
And the truth is, people got hurt because the men weren't fast enough. In case someone was running towards the elevator, it would start falling before they got there. Just weird little stuff, you know, that they couldn't troubleshoot fast enough. And so when they became automatic, people were afraid to get into the elevator. Like, well, how is it going to move? How will it know what floor it goes into? And even though I push the buttons, what's going to happen?
Right.
And so people had to get trained. But the one thing that everybody thought of, or the one thing that they thought of to kind of give people security, was what?
It was a big red stop button.
Exactly. A big red stop button.
Yes.
And so, like, oh, and that seemed to give people enough security, like, okay, well, I can stop if I have to,
mm-hmm.
then open up the little box and call for help, right, or whatever
mm-hmm.
you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then on a sadder note, they were talking about this, in 2009, this Air France plane literally crashed in the ocean and fell from the sky, like almost like a leaf, like just kind of falling, you know, that way flat like a pancake, killing everybody on board. And they were talking about how It was on autopilot flying, and it had gotten some ice on this one sensor that would figure out how fast it was going.
Hmm.
And so it disengaged this one part of autopilot, and the pilot was sleeping, and then the two co-pilots started freaking out.
Hmm.
Got the pilot, didn't know what was going on. One pilot actually grabbed the joystick and pushed back at it at a 40-degree angle,
mm-hmm.
pretty severe.
Whoa.
And if you go up that high, it stalls the plane, and a buzzer goes off saying, stall, stall, stall. Also, this plane has two joysticks, one for each pilot, that could do different things at the same time, which makes no sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
And unfortunately, the actions of the co-pilots caused this plane to crash, killing everyone on board. And what they said was, if they just would have done nothing,
mm-hmm.
nothing, not touched one thing, they would have survived because the plane was reacting appropriately.
Hmm.
But they didn't know that. They
mm-hmm.
couldn't figure it out. They were scared
mm-hmm.
because they were seeing the environment, but they weren't trusting the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And so in some ways, that plane crash has told Google, their engineers,
mm-hmm.
like, we no longer can trust people to drive these cars. Because what if they're sleeping
mm-hmm.
or reading, looking at the computer, mm-hmm. totally disconnected, mm-hmm. the car knows what's going on, and is preparing to do stuff, and then connects with the road and sees an accident up ahead. And they must stop, and they jar the steering wheel a certain way. And they hit a car, or they do this, and they do that.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I've had this happen to me. I mean, not an accident, but I've slept at a rest area, woken up kind of, slept at a rest area, sounds so tawdry. I've been in a...
After you've collected your $1 bill.
Exactly. But I've slept, and you wake up, and you're like, Why am I in the driver's seat, You
mm-hmm.
pull over and you sleep for 20, 30 minutes mm-hmm. or whatever, and you wake up completely startled
mm-hmm.
to the point where you're putting your foot in the brake
mm-hmm.
or you just
mm-hmm.
don't have any idea where you're at.
Right.
So luckily for me, those times I've always had the car in park
mm-hmm.
and turned off or
mm-hmm.
whatever,
mm-hmm.
so I can see that happening.
So, but you're saying that Google has found out that these drivers who are not connecting with the road and then all of a sudden connect and are startled because
yes.
they haven't been, it's like a seamless thing, and then they come in and they go, no, wait a minute, this
right.
And so they
override the technology.
Override the in fact, they press the big red button.
Yes. In some sense, that's what they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
They're deciding that it's best not to even have a steering wheel in these cars.
Wow.
And the best thing to do would be to have a big red button. So if you feel something really bad is going on,
yeah.
you push the button, the car will then gently move to the side of the mm-hmm. road and turn off, or however they will do that. Because the risk of a human interfering with what technology
mm-hmm.
knows to be right.
Oh, man.
Now, here is the other problem.
Wow.
I know, but here's the other problem. I don't know if they haven't talked about this being a problem or not, but we've heard where Garmin and other...
Those guys that have show you where to go?
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, we hear stories all the time. It's like, well, Garmin told me to turn right,
well, yeah.
and I ended up in a ditch.
Well, we've had we had the semis
yes.
in front of our house saying
Garmin told me to go here,
yeah,
and I'm
like,
this is not
here?
It.
This
yes.
isn't even Rochelle.
Yes.
This is Dixon.
Exactly. But he found the right people to help him out.
Yes, he did.
So that was always nice. So, yeah. So, and I was telling Doug this. I said, what do you think about this? He goes, well, he is totally crazy. I think that we need to have a steering wheel, and we need to be able to access our car in case, the technology, or we get hacked into.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, and I love this part because so many times statistics goes against human nature
mm-hmm.
or common sense.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because in my mind, I've seen a Terminator. things can go awry with technology.
I saw how
yeah.
nothing can go wrong.
Yeah.
Go wrong.
Really? Yeah, depending on who you're talking to. You know?
Yeah.
For how it was perfect, it ended the way it was supposed to end, I think. I'm not really 100% sure how it ended.
Mm-hmm. Well, it ended that the monkeys rule the planet.
Oh. And you're combining movies,
and,
girlfriend.
And it's Soylent Green is people.
It's people. Oh,
it's
no.
people. Yeah. Am I combining different movies?
I think you are, but there's no problem with that.
No, especially since you said you went back on a promise that you had made last week.
Yes.
You said you would never see
Oh, that's right. I had two promises I could make, broke, Dad
did.
And the other one.
Yes.
I said I would never see another Will Ferrell movie again.
Yeah.
I used to love his movies, and something turned on me.
Right.
I don't know what it was. It just turned.
And then you saw
Kevin Hart.
Get Hard.
Get Hard. It was actually quite funny. I was laughing. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I broke that promise. It paid off in the end.
Yeah. It seemed very much like the other one we just saw. What was it? Oh, Bride? No. Wedding Ringer.
Yes. Honestly, it's the exact same movie.
Yeah.
Literally.
It really is. I think we could do a movie like that. You know, you're going to enter us in the Illinois Film Festival, right?
Yes. I am.
And we're going to do a movie.
We have a little ways to go. You have to write a screenplay for it first.
Oh, I can do that. I can
crank that
out.
And I have to film it. Okay. And then edit it. We got a little ways to go.
Yeah, we can edit it on our phone.
Yes, we can.
There's an app for that.
100%. There are movie-making apps for sure. There's probably 100 of them.
Yeah. So, okay, I'll write the screenplay.
Okay.
It'll be based on a Kevin Hart movie where it has all the same things, you know.
Exactly.
Short guy. Who do we get for a short guy?
Well,
your boyfriend.
There you go.
Sorry, Jules.
He's not short.
Sorry,
he's
Jules.
He's medium. He's not short. He's medium. But I do think it's cute when he said he's like 5'11". I'm like, in whose dreams are you 5'11"? Your dreams.
It's in his dreams.
In his, with his lips. Like, you're not 5'11", yeah. Dude. Because I'm 5'9", and we cut, you know. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay. Drop the phone, but we're good. Doug was there. He's like shaking my phone up. Stop talking about me.
Right, exactly.
He's perfect height.
That's according to him, right?
According to me, he's perfect height.
Oh, okay.
You know, I don't have to strain my neck too much to look at him.
I'm just not used to you saying his name and the word perfect in the same sentence.
Whatever, girlfriend. So I had a lot of stuff on my list today.
We didn't get to anything that you said, Mom, I want to talk about this, this, this. And I'm like, well, you wanted to even talk about bullying.
And Bill Cosby.
And Bill Cosby. And Aunt Ruthie.
Yeah. Maybe we'll talk about that next week.
And you want to talk about polygamy.
Yes.
And polyamory.
I did. I had a lot on my plate today.
How did this happen?
I know, because here's the thing I'm going to leave for everybody. I twice this week I heard somebody say to me, oh, you're just jealous because you don't get to be in a poly relationship like me.
Yeah.
I'm like, I swear to God, I am not jealous of that.
Yeah. No, you're just jealous. You're
just
not
jealous.
In a polyamorous relationship.
Yeah, really? Yeah. Not directly at me, but just hearing it through different people. And I'm like, I can tell you that right now, that is not my problem. I can barely handle one
guy. Your brother Greg said, I can barely handle one woman.
Yeah.
That's right.
I think that's how most people feel. Mm-hmm. I can barely handle one person of the opposite sex.
And I said, well, if you're Mormon, then you shouldn't be called a Mormon. You should be called a more woman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sad girl. We had to really bum-bum-bum try to work for that joke.
Well, yeah, you're true. That's true. It's true.
Yeah.
I made you work for it.
You know, you worked for it.
I guess I did.
But it was good.
Mm.
So Mom, I guess it's the Mormons that have to, you know, have more wives, right?
Right. More women.
Oh, so not more men, but more
women.
There you go. So everybody, you can go to get our book at The Clutterfly Effect at theclutterflyeffect.com.
Yeah,
at Amazon.
Yes.
And we got a lot of good things coming up next 2 to 3 weeks because we're
and
really pushing
forward.
And also
sign up for Prosperity Postcards.
Yep, at prosperitypostcards.com.
You get a daily Prosperity Postcard.
From us.
Daily audio Prosperity Postcard.
From us. We just want to say,
it was great.
was great.